By way of announcements, amen. Let me check. Is it family week, y'all, yet? Or is it family? Michelin there. No, sir. All right. Regular week in Philly. And so Bible study, prayer. Also, be cognizant that today we'll be doing the Hebrew softball leagues. And so the ladies will be playing. The kids will be playing this afternoon at Arsenal Park. God spare the weather. Amen. The men will be playing on Monday. Glory to God. And so, hallelujah. That's right, Brother Hap. So we're going to be getting it. And so it's always a fun time. It's always good fellowship. Amen. Is it nursing home ministry today? No? All right. Just want to check, make sure. You say yes? Okay. All right. So it's no nursing home today. Love, you got anything else? All right. Y'all, Brother Quentin and the rest of our photographers, amen, finished with our church book, amen. And so we got all the photos of the families and stuff like that. And so that is available. How do you go about doing that, Brittany? All right, we're going to start ordering next week, amen. It is $25 a book, amen, and that's for the book. You know, we ain't trying to make nothing off of it, amen. But we want you to have one, amen. Is there another form as well?
Yes, you can get another cheaper copy.
Yeah, there's even like a paperback that we might be able to get for you if you want that for a little bit cheaper, amen. Maybe $24.99, amen. I just want to see if y'all was up, amen. I'm joking, amen. So the books are in, and they are wonderful, y'all. I'm telling you, I'll flip through them, and it's like, wow, the people of God. And so I'm thinking every year we get better and better with this, and we can do it like, you know, maybe not every year, but we could do it once every so often, and we can include, amen, the different fellowships and the different sports we're doing, amen, and have pictures of teams and stuff. Just, man, somebody tell your neighbor, we going back to high school. You know. All right, is that all pretty? All right, let's get to the work. Acts 7 and 23, amen. And let's talk a little bit about Moses this morning. Amen. The Bible says, and when he was a full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And the Bible says, and seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove and would have set them at one again, saying, sirs, you are brethren. Why do you wrong one another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Will you kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. And we pray in the mighty name of Jesus, you'd fill us up with your spirit so we could preach, teach, and even receive your word. We pray that you would reach, Lord God, every single person in here. That your anointing would destroy works. You'd send your word and you would heal them. That you would bless us, God, with spiritual and blessings that we don't even have any idea of. I pray that I would decrease and you would increase and that you'd save souls this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Love, I just thought of something. Amen. I sent it to your email. Yeah? And so if you want to check your email, you'll be able to send it to him from there. All right. And so the title of this message is Moses Part 2. Amen. And I sent my notes to my wife instead of sending it to Brent. Amen. I must have been thinking about her when I was preparing. And so we'll get the points up there for you, but let's do it the old-fashioned way, amen, if you got a pen or paper, amen. Oh, Brent is already on it already, amen. And so last time we were here, remember, we were talking about Stephen, amen, and his dissertation, his defense. And he's going through the patriarchs. And right now, he's talking about Moses. And so last time we talked, we had 3 points: the time of promise, another king arose, and number three, Moses was born. Amen. This morning, we should have 4 points. Amen. That's what I'm going to try to get through, 4 points. And the first point is, it came into his heart. It came into his heart. The second point is, one of them suffering wrong. And I'm coming straight out the text, verse by verse. It came into his heart is number one. Number two, one of them suffering wrong. Number three, they understood not. They understood not. And if we have time, we'll get to number four, which I think we should get to. Why do you wrong one another? Why do you wrong one another? Amen. And just to prepare you, amen, this is going to be a sermon heavily pointed at the Hebrew people. Amen. Heavily pointed at us. Amen. And so I just want to get you ready for it. Amen. You will be able to infuse other nationalities into what I'm saying as we think about them being engrafted into our tree. And what I say about us, amen, after we, hallelujah, get right with us, amen, we should look to work with all of our Christian brethren of any race and any nationality. And so just laying out this disclaimer, amen, that though I will address the ills of our people, amen, this can also be applied to Christendom as a whole, amen. And it is in my heart, amen, never to isolate or exclude any believer, amen, because that would be completely unscriptural, amen, because they are engrafted into the tree of Israel. Come on, give God some glory, amen. And so just that disclaimer so y'all can understand of my heart. Amen. But those that been here a while, you already know. All right? Let's look at our first point. It came into his heart. It came into his heart. We're looking at verse 23 for this. And the Bible says, and when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. Right here, the Bible says about Moses that he was a full, what? 40 years old, all right? This is after Moses has pretty much lived a lifetime in Egypt, amen? Because 40 years, amen, is usually about half life, amen, under the normal circumstances, amen? People live longer than that. People live less than that. But 40, hallelujah, is almost about that half point. Amen. We got some people between 35 and 45 in here. Anybody? 35 and 45? Amen. Hallelujah. We got a few. Amen. All right. We got some people over 45 in here. Huh? All right. All right. All right. Just want to check and make sure who we're dealing with. All right. Bible says when Moses was a full 40 years old, listen, hallelujah, Moses had lived a lifetime in Egypt, y'all. A lifetime in Egypt as an Egyptian, huh? A lifetime or a half a lifetime, amen. He was 40 years in the royal court of Pharaoh. Because you remember, he was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He grew up royalty, y'all. And that wasn't just, amen, hallelujah, that was from a baby boy all the way up to this point, 40 years old, amen, he grew up as royalty in the Egyptian culture. He got 40 years of Egyptian education. This could even be said by some historians that this was after his education and even after his military service. Amen. 40 years is a long time, and it's a lot of life experiences, huh? It's a lot of things that you can see and you can do in 40 years. Amen. You see, hallelujah, it took 40 years for Moses to notice his own people. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? Before 40 years, Moses probably didn't really even look at his people too good. Huh? He never looked at their struggle. He never looked at their oppression. He never looked at their slavery nor their abuse. For 40 years, y'all. 40 years. It wasn't until he was 40, amen, that he looked up and saw what was going on in his own people. All right? I have here in my notes that you need to understand that Moses was doing him. He was doing him. He wasn't doing them. He wasn't doing us. He was doing him. All right? And I have here in my notes that, and another way we could say it was that Moses was asleep. All right? He was asleep. All right? That means that he wasn't woke yet. Huh? Look at your neighbor and say, are you sleeping? All right? All right? You see, anytime you don't love your people, anytime you don't look out for your people, you're still asleep. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? First, Hebrews, like Romans says, then Christian believers as a whole, amen. But anytime you're not looking out for your people, you're not really woke yet. All right? It took him 40 years to wake up. All right? I have in my notes, your alarm hasn't gone off yet. Or if it has, you done hit the snooze button. All right? You're not woke yet. All right? There are many Hebrews still sleeping, I have here. My wife said they're not only sleeping, they're snoring. You see? While your people suffer in struggle and affliction, your people suffer in struggle and affliction. Police shooting just last night in Chicago, just yesterday in Chicago. Huh? Kill another black man. You see what I'm saying? Racial slurs by the top CEOs and founders of companies like Papa John's, the guy from Papa John's using racial slurs to describe our people. Huh? All right? Why are we going over there eating his pizza if you feel that way about us? All right? I'm talking to us as a church, all those on YouTube, there shouldn't be no more Papa John's if that's how you feel. All right? All right? The NFL saying, we can kneel, but in the locker room. Huh? If those type of things don't bother you, then you're not woke yet. You're still sleeping. I'm just saying. And look, I'm not judging you, because I done been there before. I done been there before. Recently. Huh? All kind of stuff going on in our people and not even seeing it, not hearing it, but and not feeling it, most importantly. All right? All right? You see that? You still sleep. You still sleep. You see? But Moses turned the full 40, and something happened. Something happened to him. Huh? Moses, amen, hallelujah, entered that time of life that sociologists and psychologists, they call it middle adulthood, all right? And it happens around 40. It happens sooner for some people, and God spare life later for others, all right? So you could be 35 and be like in this middle adult, you know, if you mature. And if you're immature, you could be 65 and still not there, all right? This middle adulthood is from about 40 to 65. And when you enter it, amen, some bad things begin to happen. All right? Your body begins to slow down. Huh? You're not as fast or strong as you used to be. Amen? It's harder to keep, hallelujah, yourself in shape. Your body becomes more sensitive to things. What things? Everything. All right? You become more sensitive to food, your diet. That's when your diet usually begins to have to change. You began more sensitive for the need of sleep. Amen. That's why we always grouchy. Amen. We got to get our rest. You see, you become more sensitive. Amen. To food, to sleep. Even some studies show that you become more sensitive to people. Huh? Amen. And it's one of those times where you began to really deal with people in a different fashion than you've dealt with them in times past. And so that's some of the bad things that happen. Amen. But some good things happen too. All right. Look at your neighbor and say, being broke made me rich. All right, all right, all right. It's in this time, amen, where we still have a little youth, but in this time of middle adulthood, it's usually when people are the most wealthiest they've ever been in their life. They have the most things that they've ever had in their life. Amen. Not only that, amen, people in this stage re-examine their lives. They take stock and assess what they've been through and where they are right now in this middle adulthood. They begin to evaluate their accomplishments and see, hallelujah, how well they've lived thus far. And the reason they do that is because they've reached a point where they know they primarily, God's spare, halfway through. You know what I'm saying? What have I done so far, and what am I going to do from here on out? Not only that, you reach this stage, and a lot of people in this stage, amen, you've already buried parents. Or you have to caretake them because they can't take care of themselves. When you're in this stage, amen, a lot of you are deeper as far as the meaning of life because you have kids that's about to enter a phase where you're launching them into life. All right, so you're deeper. Amen. In this stage, morality happens. In this stage, amen, people just reassess, reexamine. Amen. Hallelujah. Also in this stage, hallelujah, people become more community-oriented. They begin to think outside themselves. See, for 40 years, they've done them, and they realize that ain't really got me nowhere. And so they reassess life and say, there's something bigger than life than just me. All right? And this is all what the sociologists and psychologists say. And we look at our Bible, and the Bible saying when Moses was a full 40 years old, you see, he started thinking outside of himself, amen, and he went and he visited his people. He looked upon his people. Listen, I got a word for you, amen. I'm praying for those who are over 40 that you would get a Moses revelation. That you would begin to look outside yourself, your own stuff, your own desires. Amen. Hallelujah. I need you to catch up. I need you to wake up. I need you to get up out of bed and see that your people struggling and that your people need you. And that, listen, if you're going to live a life all about yourself, you're going to die all by yourself. Amen. Anybody hear me up in here? You got to look upon your people. I come to you like Mordecai came to Esther. Esther, yeah, you're doing good. You're in the palace. But your people over here, and they got a debt sentence over them. All right? God going to deliver them. Yeah. It's going to come. Amen. If you don't do it, it's going to come. Amen. But wouldn't it be great if you could be a part of God's plan for his people in these last days? Amen. If you would just wake up. I'm talking to them. But I'm talking to our youngsters in here as well. You see, just because it happens around 40, amen, and you're younger than that, don't mean you can't wake up young. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? All right? You hear me, Dennis, TP, Brian, amen? We need some people, amen, mature for their age. We need some people beyond their time, beyond their years. That's how Jesus was. Jesus was woke when he was born. Anybody hear me up in here? He was 33, amen, and lived a full life. He was woke, amen? Hallelujah, he was woke. Woke when he was young. And I need, listen, that's what we need. We need our 30-somethings, our 20-somethings, amen. We need our teenagers up in here to be woke, to be wide awake. I'm about my people, and I'm about my God, amen. And that's what we need. Come on, give God some glory, amen. The Bible says when he was a full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his people. Amen. I love this phrase, it came into his heart. You see, it's worded as though it didn't come from Moses. It came into his heart. It's worded like a third party, an outside source, amen, sent it there, amen. This thing was not exclusively a thought that Moses gave birth to. It came into his heart. And this is true. I believe this. I believe that God put in Moses' heart, amen, to go and visit his people, amen. I believe that. And I believe that God is still putting in the hearts of men and women all over the world, especially Hebrews, he's putting in our heart to turn our attention back towards our people. And it's happening unbeknownst to us. Amen. It's happening against our will and against our plan. Listen, I'm telling you, I was not woke, hallelujah, 5-10 years ago. And it wasn't my plan to be woke. It wasn't my plan to go this way. Amen. But God will put something in your heart that you have no plan of. Amen. And say, I don't care if you plan it. This is what I want. And you're going to do my will, amen? Because if anybody that know me, amen, would ever see me up here preaching like I preach, amen, calling Hebrews like I'm calling them, amen, they say there's a different Omar. It's a different Omar, amen. Because like Moses, I done lived 40 years in the royal courts of Egypt. Anybody hear me up in here? Ooh. All right. Some of you, let me move on. But the Bible tells us in Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do, who good pleasure? His good pleasure, all right? God makes us will. He makes us want to do something. And after he makes us want to do something, he gives us the power and the anointing and the ability and the strength to accomplish what he put in our heart, all right? He woke Moses up, y'all. He told Moses, go check your own people out. Huh? He put it there. And I'm praying, that's my prayer, amen, that God would amplify, huh? That he would even, hallelujah, expedite, amen, the awakening of the Hebrews all over the world, that we really would have a thought in our heart, amen, to look upon, to care, to visit our people. You see? How do we know it was God, y'all, that put that in Moses' heart? I'm going to tell you why. Because it was God's will that his people be free. We know that. He told that to Abraham. They're going to serve and be enslaved for this long. But it was always God's will for his people to be free. So we know it was God that put that in Moses' heart. All right? As we look at our current situation, the Hebrews in America, the same thing applies. It's God's will that God's people be free. That God's people be free to worship him. It's God's will that God's people be united. It's God's will that God's people, amen, be all about his word, all about worship, all about him. It's God's will that God's people be blessed again, amen. So how do we know, glory to God, that this movement that's entering in our hearts is of God? Because it's in line with the revealed will of God that in the last days his people would be awakened like dry bones. Come on, give God. Man, watch this now, watch this. Hallelujah. God turned Moses' heart, y'all. He turned Moses' heart. You know, and the second thing I'd like to say is this, all right? How do we know that it wasn't Moses, all right? How do we know it's God, all right? Because we see it's part of God's revealed will. How do we know it wasn't Moses? And the book of Hebrews, amen, 11:24 is later on down in the sermon, so you don't even have to go to it if you don't want sound booth. But in Hebrews 11:24, it says something great about Moses. The Bible says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, 40 years old, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. How do we know this wasn't Moses going and rallying God's people? You know how we know? Because Moses had nothing to gain by it. Moses had nothing to gain by it. All Moses had was things that he could lose. He had nothing to gain. All right? Pastor, what did Moses, hallelujah, stand to lose? Well, he left a name, the Bible says, refusing to be called the son of Pharaoh. Huh? He left pleasures, the pleasures of Egypt, the pleasures of sin for a season. Huh? He left riches. Amen. Refusing the riches, because he would have been wealthy beyond all comparison, because Egypt was still living off the wealth that Joseph had got for it during the famine when all the other nations had to come and eat. Right? That's what he left. And what did he gain, huh? He took up obscurity. He left a name to become a no name. Huh? He left pleasures to pick up affliction. People, hallelujah, trying to hurt him. He left riches to pick up reproach. People talking about him. Huh? You say, how do you know this was God? Because it was God's written will. How do you know that it wasn't Moses? Because Moses didn't have anything to gain. In fact, he lost things for it and picked up suffering, affliction, and reproach. I need you to look at your own life. Huh? And you got to ask yourself, Hallelujah. When you have a decision like that to make, is it God? Is it not of God? Amen. You got to open God's written will and look at it. Is this part of his written will? Huh? Then after you look at his written will, you got to ask yourself, what do I stay in the game by this? Huh? Do I want this just because, once again, I'm doing me? And I want to be in front of people? And I want to make some more money? And I want the ladies to like me, the men to like me, and I want to do that, and I want to do that? Because if that's your motivation is selfish, is wrong, and it's most probably not God. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? Now watch this. This is your motivation going into a thing. Now watch this. A lot of the times when you have the right motivation, even the things that you subconsciously want, just go in with the right motivation. And God will make sure you get all those things on the back end, even though you don't go in for those things. Are you with me so far? This is how a God operates. All right? He told Solomon, Solomon, ask for anything you want. And you know what Solomon asked for? He asked for wisdom, a wise heart to be able to discern from good and evil, amen, a righteous and wicked, amen. God, give me a discerning heart. Why? So I could rule your people. His motivation was pure. And God said, because you asked for this and not this, that, and the other, I'm going to give you the wisdom, but guess what? I'm going to make you rich. I'm going to bless you. You're going to always have... How can you tell it's God? Moses say, man, I'm going to check on my people. I ain't got nothing to gain but just everything to lose, and I don't care. I'm going to check on my people. I'm wishing, I'm praying, I'm hoping that we'd have some in here like that. I'm going to check on my people. And I don't care what they say about me. I don't care how they talk about me. I don't care how they try to hurt me. No. I'd rather suffer affliction with the people of God than be called the son of Pharaoh or enjoy the pleasures of sin for a moment. I'd rather suffer reproach, huh? And get my rewards on the back end from the Most High God. That's how you can tell it's God. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. All right. The Bible says in 23, it entered into his heart. We're going to start moving fast to visit his brethren. The phrase his brethren is important because Moses was born, hallelujah, a Hebrew and not an Egyptian. Hallelujah. The Egyptians were not his brethren. His brethren were the Israelites, the Hebrews, the people of God. Pharaoh's daughter did not hide it from him. You see, from the moment he was born, she went out and got a Hebrew, his own mama, to take care of him. And I know his mama was telling him, boy, you look like them people, but you're not them people. No. Boy, you're Hebrew. And in case you ever forget, if something happened between you and them people going to remind you that you're Hebrew and you're not them people. You're not Egyptian. All right? And Moses probably heard that growing up, amen. And just when it looked like Moses would never wake up, when it looked like Moses would never be about his people, his mom, his brother, his sister probably gave up on all Moses said like. Moses living with them fools. Just when they gave up on Moses, when he hit 40 and Moses woke up, he said, hold on, what's going on down here in Goshen? Come on, give God some glory, amen? All right? Point number two, one of them suffer wrong. We going teaching up in here. We going teaching. If y'all all right, amen, we moving through our text, amen, and Bible study in here. We going teaching. Might not be too much preaching, amen, but we going teaching. We going to teach you the word, amen? One of them suffer wrong. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, the Bible says, Moses defended him and avenged him that was oppressed, and he smote the Egyptian. So the Bible says that Moses, when he went visit his people, he saw one of them suffering wrong. An Egyptian had done some act of wickedness to one of God's people. He wronged him in some way. He hurt him. He harmed him. He treated him unjustly. He violated him in some way. Moses saw it and didn't look away from it. He didn't act like it was not going on, not happening. Amen. Moses saw it, perceived it, and wrapped his mind around it. And this is part of you being awakened as a Hebrew, amen, that you see the wrong that's happening to our people in America and all over the world and don't turn your face from it. Yeah. All right? See it, look at it, perceive it, amen, and know what's going on. Amen? Don't run around from the store of Tavon Martin. Don't run around, amen, and try to run from, amen, Alfred Sterling in Baton Rouge. No, no, no. You got to look these things fully in the face, ascertain what's going on, amen. I'm not saying that when you realize what's going on for you to watch it every day, because then you're going to slip into something else. We're going to talk about that here in a second, all right? But we got some that's hiding from reality. They're hiding from reality. They're trying to act like they're not black. They're trying to act like they're not Hebrew, huh? All right? They think because they're a little lighter than everybody else that somehow they're going to pass. You're not going to pass. And it's going to eventually happen to you or your children. Then it's going to become real. Moses didn't look away. You see? Now, what wrong was done that Moses observed? All right? Now, the Bible doesn't say it right here, but we can pick up some of the more ancient and sacred texts, amen, and we can look at them as a commentary, amen, and just as a commentary. The book of Jasher and the ancient text, the legends of the Hebrews, they both agree that the Egyptian was committing sexual immorality with this Hebrew's wife, right? One of the books even say that the Egyptian taskmaster would come to the Hebrew's house early, early in the morning and force him to go out and work his slave job. Go out and work, all right? Your crew needs you, go before dawn. And while he pushed the Hebrew away to go work, the Egyptian would sneak in the Hebrew house and lay with his wife. Well, the Hebrew came back and caught the Egyptian. And the Egyptian, instead of being humble and saying I was wrong, he got more mad than the Hebrew. And the Bible, not the Bible, but the sacred text say that he began to beat the Hebrew. The book of Jasher and the legends of the Hebrews began, they say he began to beat the Hebrew. All right? Moses saw the Egyptian beating the Hebrew and understood what the Egyptian was doing to the Hebrew. Amen? All right? Hallelujah. Moses does a few things. Number one, Moses defended him. Back up off my brother. Number two, he avenged him. He went on the offensive. Number three, he took the offensive to another level. He smote the Egyptian. And when it says smote, means that he struck him with such a hard blow that it was fatal. He killed the Egyptian. All right? Now, I want to tell you right off the bat, Moses started off right, but ended off wrong. Anybody hear me up in here? Because I think it's always right for you to defend your people. All right? Especially if your people are not doing wrong. All right? It's time for us to stand up for one another. All right? If we don't fight for each other, who's going to fight for us? All right? And that's why, you know, with Kaepernick stood up, amen, to what was going on, amen. And then the NFL did him that, you know. And I don't know if us as a people did all we could to stand up and to defend our brother. All right? Just being honest with you. But the story not over yet. Anybody hear me up in here, all right? The story not over yet. All right? But you see, hallelujah, Moses, he defended him and that was good. But then the Bible says he then avenged him. Moses stopped the Egyptian, and then Moses went on the offensive. Oh, yeah, you want to handle my boy? You see? Then he avenged him. See, the problem with that is the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Anybody hear me up in here? Unless the government consider us a radical black liberation group, I must tell you, all right, that no way, shape, or form is Pastor Omar trying to condone, amen, that when they hurt our people that we would somehow go hurt somebody else. All right? All right? Hey, God, you don't defeat the monster by becoming a monster yourself. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? No. Hebrews and our Gentile Hebrew brothers who are sympathetic to our cause. Amen. We know, amen, that violence against violence is not going to be the answer right here. All right? Well, Pastor, what's going to happen when they shoot us in the street and all that? God going to take care of that, my brother. All right? And God got a way of making a God. When wicked people do that to his people, amen, they might take one of our people, but God will take 5 or 6 or 100 in them someplace else, amen. But nobody will ever make the correlation. They'll shoot one of us and then somewhere in some hospital, somewhere in some school, hey, but I'm going to just leave that like that. Anybody hear me? I'm going to just leave that like that. All right? So we ain't got to go and do no violence to nobody. All right? Moses was wrong for that. Defend your brother. Hey, man, don't do that to my brother. All right? But we ain't got to avenge nobody. Defense? Yes. Avenge? No. Because vengeance, revenge, hey, God, it don't stop. See, when you go to get somebody back, amen, it's never good enough. Revenge can't be satisfied. And so when Moses turned from defense to avenge, to revenge, amen, what naturally happens is that our temper, hallelujah, takes us to a place where we don't want to be. So Moses began to attack the Egyptian. And what happened, Pastor? Well, Moses ended up killing the Egyptian. All right? And it was all because of his temper. And as we look at Moses' life, you will see that Moses had a temper, man. Moses, man, listen, he was, how could it be, Pastor? How could the Bible describe him as the meekest man on earth? But then we look at him and he'll explode like nobody's business. You see? Pastor, what's going on? Well, we don't understand the dichotomy about Moses. Listen, it's the quiet ones you got to watch. Anybody hear me up in here? It's the one that's always smiling. He ain't saying that, he just smiling, amen. But you push that wrong button. And you say, what happened to you? All right? Wait up. Go. All right, listen. Okay. So that's how Moses was. And Moses, when you flip Moses' switch, it's Moses' black eye. So Moses then took the Egyptian life. And you see, we know that wasn't what God wanted. Because the Bible says in James 1:20 that the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. When you lose your temper and you want to do something and get angry and get upset, you want to break something or hurt somebody, that don't work the righteous will of the Most High God. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Anybody hear me up in here? There's other ways to do that. All right? Hallelujah. In the Hebrew, if we understand it, there's other ways to do that. Economic ways. Huh? Political ways. Huh? All right. Let me move on. All right? All right? It was okay, y'all, for Moses to get angry for what was happening to his brother. It was okay. But the Bible tells us in Ephesians, the Bible says, be angry, but what? Sin not. All right? It's okay to get angry, but don't, hallelujah, let your anger get you. It's okay to get angry. Don't let your anger get you. Possess you, control you. There's got to be a little limit. Okay, yeah, but this is my limit. I ain't doing over this. All right? Defense, yes. Revenge, no. All right? So, hallelujah, the Bible tells us that Moses killed the Egyptian. And then what did he do? He buried the Egyptian in the sand. All right? And the Hebrews knew about it. All right? The one that he was avenging knew about it. Amen. When you read the sacred text, the commentaries on the Bible, they actually give us the name of the Hebrew that he defended. It was a Hebrew by the name of Dathan. Ooh. Pastor, I remember Dathan. Dathan and Abiram, who was with Korah, who rebelled against Moses after they had left Egypt. So you mean to tell me that the one that Moses defended and avenged, the one he did right to stop that Egyptian from killing him, save his life, fought for him, got in trouble, had to go on the run from Egypt for Dathan, and then they get in the wilderness, and the one he tried to help was the one that stabbed him in the back and used rebellion and sedition to go against Moses? I'm saying it's a high probability. Right? I love these books of Jashan and these other texts. They even give the name of Dathan's wife, Shilomith. You say, Pastor, that sounds familiar. You go Google that and see what that said in your Bible. Shilomith was a woman, an Israelite woman, who had a child who cursed and blasphemed God. That when he did it in front of everybody else, the children of Israel decided to take stones and stone him. The other text said that Shilomith was Dathan's wife, the woman that was messing with the Egyptian. After I read that, I opened my Bible and I said, well, what was the nationality of the child that was stoned for blaspheming the Most High God? The Bible said that Shilomith's son, who cursed God, blasphemed him, was the product of Shilomith, an Israelite woman, and an Egyptian. I said, wow. She really was messing with that old boy when Dathan went to work. Nobody but the Hebrews knew about Moses concealing the body in the sand. The other text say Moses looking at the boy, he said, y'all keep it secret. Don't say nothing. You know? But them boys ain't keep it secret. You know, we're going to move to point three, but maybe next Sunday we're going to look and see how Hebrews don't cover one another. We expose and gossip about one another's wrongs instead of loving our brothers and saying, you made a mistake and I'm not going to put your business out there like that, and I love you and I'm with you. I'm going to cover you like the sons of Noah did tell him, hey, God, oh, no, you make one mistake, we're going to blast you and put all your business out there. We cover other people instead of our own people. But that should be for next Sunday. Third point. They understood not. This is my favorite point. They understood not. See, Moses went to visit his people, y'all. And he saw one of them suffer wrong. He defended him, avenged him. Amen. And hallelujah, he smote the Egyptian. You see, Moses supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. All right? The Bible says that Moses supposed, that means he thought, he assumed, he took for granted. He took for granted that since he was a Hebrew, amen, they would all unify around him. He took for granted that they all knew the story of his birth and how God, hallelujah, through miracles, signs, and wonders kept him alive, amen, and how he was adopted into the royal court, how he was preserved, amen, how he was educated, how he had military exploits, how he was, hallelujah, very feared and respected amongst the Egyptians, amen. Moses assumed that his people would feel the same way about him, like the Egyptians felt about him. And I'm going to tell you, Moses was in for a rude awakening. You see, he supposed, but he did not suppose right. He supposed his brethren. Huh? I love that. His brethren. He supposed his own people. Huh? Would want to be one. He supposed his own people would want to be unified. Huh? Moses was raised as an Egyptian, so he saw that the Egyptians were unified. The Egyptians were one. He wanted God's people to be one in righteousness because he saw the Egyptians being one in wickedness, but at least they were one. And Moses said, why can't Israel be one? He supposed that his brethren would want to be unified. Huh? But he supposed wrong. You see? He supposed that his brethren would understand by his hand God would deliver them. Moses thought that the people of God would have understood his calling, his anointing, his position, his heavenly ordination. He thought that they would fall all in line to help him help them. But I got in my notes, ball pleased. Them Hebrews, man, they did not understand. They did not understand. It's the same people that God said, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. It's the same people, amen, that's in the hood before they're about to do something wrong. They say, I ain't got no understand. And they not lying. They don't have no understanding. We praying that during this revival that understanding would come. Lord, I speak understanding over the Hebrew people in the mighty name of Jesus. Huh? They didn't care about Moses' credentials, his qualifications. They didn't care about the miracles surrounding his birth. They didn't care about the oneness issue. They didn't care about the Egyptians, amen, respecting Moses. They didn't care nothing about that. They didn't understand, amen, that God had called him to lead. They didn't want him to lead. They all wanted to lead themselves. You see? Because of pride, they couldn't see themselves following Moses. All they could see is themselves leading Moses. Huh? They did not understand. You see? Let me tell you something here. My wife said that this is indicative of who the real people is. If this don't show that this is us, nothing shows it. Anybody hear me up in here? Because the Hebrews still fussing about who going to lead to this very day. Anybody hear me up in here? I have in my notes other groups moving forward. But we staying still fussing about who going to drive. See me, I'm of the opinion, I don't care who drive. Let's just put our seatbelt on and go somewhere. All right? Let's just go somewhere. You know, the Hebrew, no understanding. The Bible said that this would be a stiff-necked people. A people with a hard heart. That seeing they might not see. And hearing they might not hear. And Jesus look at them people and be like, oh, slow of sight and dull of hearing. Huh? Have I been with you so long? He said, you could discern the face of the sky and can't see the signs of the time. God had angels accompanying this man, Moses, and you see? Understanding. The Bible in Proverbs 2 and 11 says this, discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee. I love that. Understanding will guard you. In verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. Understanding will keep you from evil. From the man that speaketh forward things, from people that's talking bad about you, trying to harm you. Understanding, if you could look at a situation and grasp it and comprehend the meaning of what's going on and see God in it, that understanding will protect you and get you a long way in life. You see? It'll deliver you, huh? From people who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in ways of darkness. Later on, it keeps going, but it'll lead you, understanding to keep you from the strange woman, the Bible says. Amen. And the strange man. Huh? Understanding. So, Father, we just lift up the Hebrew people. And we are praying for a divine release of understanding upon our people. At every age group, God. From the cradle all the way to the grave, God. From one and under to all the way to 90 and above, God. We are praying for a spirit of comprehension, God, of the signs and the times of today, Lord God. We pray for an awakening. We pray, God, for an anointing to be on your people, God. That they would be, hallelujah, no longer ignorant, God. No longer hard-hearted, God. No longer stiff-necked, God. No longer dull of hearing and dull of eyes, God. We pray scales would fall off of your people as scales fell off of Paul. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God some glory, amen. They don't understand, he says, but they're going to understand now. Point number four, here we go. We talk about Moses, huh? Point number four says this, why do you wrong one another? Why do you wrong one another? This point is awesome. If you think I like point number three, I like point number four better. Look what he says. We just going through the scriptures, y'all. We teaching here this morning. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove. So Moses, after he killed the Egyptian and defended Dathan or whoever it was, he showed himself, hallelujah, unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, sirs, you are brethren, why do you wrong one another? You see, the next day, you see, Moses really wanted to be by his people. It wasn't just a one-time stop. He's coming back the next day, all right? And the Bible says that he showed himself to them as they strove. What did this strove mean? It means that they will fight, all right? Now, the first day, he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. The second day he comes, he sees a Hebrew beating another Hebrew. All right? And hallelujah, I have in my notes here to believe they will fight. They are in oppression. Another nation has them in slavery, but they are fighting. Another nation has their foot on the necks of the Hebrews. Huh? Got them, amen, picking up water, making bricks. Amen. Killing their babies, throwing their babies in the river, laying with their wives. Huh? But yet and still I see in my notes that they are fighting. I say, what in the world is this, Cherie? What in the world is this? I have in my notes again, boy, you're foolish. How you gonna fight your own brother when both of y'all getting beat by a sister? How you gonna do that? How you gonna do that, Clyde? I'm just asking, how you do that? Like you and your boy together and y'all go somewhere, they jump in both of y'all, and instead of fighting the enemy, you and your boy, because me and you could take him, Clyde, instead of fighting your enemy, we turn around and fight each other. Man, that's foolish, man. They must have hit us really hard upside the head. No, instead of fighting one another, no, what you do? You get yourself back to back and you begin to defend one another. Huh? That's what logic would say. All right? Boy, Hebrew, you're foolish. Back then. But guess what? Still today. Still today. Huh? Being shot in the street. Being miseducated in our schools. Huh? Oppressed, suppressed, passed on, arrested, shot in the street. But yet and still, like these Hebrews back then, we still doing the same thing. They fight one another. Huh? I have in my notes gangs in Chicago fighting one another. Why, they just shot one in Chicago yesterday. Huh? It's not just Chicago. I ain't picking on nobody. They're doing the same thing in Lafayette, New Iberia, St. Martinville. They're doing the same thing in Opelousas and in Crowley. The same thing in Baton Rouge. The same thing in New Orleans. In every major city. Fighting one another. Huh? But not only there, in the streets, in the church. Huh? Fighting one another. Oh, yeah. How that's going to happen? They all talking about us out there. Maryland, they all talking about us. Oh, they believe they're Hebrew. Oh, this, that. Oh, this, that. Oh, they all talking. They talking. Ain't got nothing to say, but they talking. Now, you know they all talking about us out there. Why would you ever come in here and fight one another when they fighting you on the outside? What in the world is wrong with you? What in the world is wrong with you? The only way I could see that happening is if you're an infiltrator. If you're a false brethren, if you're not really saved and don't really have that, you're not part of the weak, you're part of the tear. That's the only way for me to understand that. See, because pressure is supposed to bring a people together. Huh, Brother Doug, that's the fraternity model, huh? That pressure. Supposed to bring people together. You see? I won't say too much, but you know what I'm saying. All right? All right? You see? It make me sick to my stomach, y'all. I see Democrat Hebrews fussing with Republican Hebrews while them two parties clowning all the Hebrews. Oh, yeah, two blacks on Fox News fussing against each other. They fighting one another. Light skin, Hebrew. And brown skin, Hebrew. Huh? Fighting one another. Talking about who got good hair and who got bad hair. Huh? That's foolish, huh? Huh? Fussing about who got the best hair. While another nation making money off of our hair. $1 billion industry selling our hair. We fussing about hair while they making money off of hair. You tell me who got their priorities right. But they fighting one another. Huh? Let me tell y'all something. None of y'all hair good. All y'all hair just Hebrew. And it's either straight Hebrew or mixed Hebrew, but it's Hebrew. And God gave it to you. And how you gonna call what God gave bad? It serve a purpose. Huh? It serve a purpose. And it go with your face, it go with your body style, it go with everything about you. Let me move on. Even going into New Covenant Hebrews, fighting Old Covenant Hebrews. While we don't agree, and all that they do, they don't agree with all that we do. We shouldn't be fighting one another while somebody else fighting us on the outside. I got in my nose, Negro, you must be crazy. The Bible says he would have set them one again. He tried to reconcile them, tried to bring them to peace. And he asked one of the most pertinent questions I ever heard in the Bible. I'm telling you, it's one of those questions like the Philippian jailer when he said, what must I do to be saved? That's probably one of the greater questions than this. But this question, after that question, is one of the greatest questions for our people. Look what he asked. This is Moses. Moses says, sirs, you are brethren. Why do ye wrong one another? Why do you wrong one another? Why do you wrong one another? I have in my notes, Mark, that's a $1 trillion question. Not billion, because we have an economic power of trillions by now. It's a $1 trillion question. Huh? Remember, Moses was raised an Egyptian, y'all. And he never saw the Egyptians try to hurt each other like that. Try to kill each other like that. That once they knock each other down, try to extinguish each other with our own feet on another one's head. They never saw that before. Moses, like, the Egyptians don't act like this. So he asked a question. He was baffled by it. You know? He said, why do you wrong one another? Huh? And I took this question and put it to our modern day. Why are you jealous of one another? You are brethren. Huh? Why do you gossip about one another? You are brethren. Huh? Why do you lie to one another? Steal from one another? Cheat one another? You are brethren. Why do you curse and boot up and threaten one another? You are brethren. Why do you fight one another? Put your hands up to harm, hallelujah, somebody that looked like you. Somebody that came from Abraham like you, from Isaac like you. Somebody that came from Jacob like you. Somebody that came from Judah like you or the other tribes. Why do you try to fight one another? You are brethren. Why do you sin against one another? Huh? Fornicate. Huh? With one another's children, one another's family. Commit adultery with one another's wives or one another's husbands. Huh? And you sit there self-righteous. I would never sleep with my sister's husband on a biological level. But every time you go play at that club and get that man with that ring, he might not be your sister, your immediate sister's husband. But he is still your sister's husband. Why do you wrong one another, he says. If ye be brethren. You see, we talk that brother stuff. We talk that I'm black and I'm proud stuff. We talk that Hebrew stuff. Huh? But it's a difference between talking about it and being about it. Amen. Why do you wrong one another? We're getting wrong enough out there. Is this too much for you? Why do you wrong one another? You see? Why do you steal from one another? Why do you kill one another? Why do you sell drugs to one another? Why do you wrong your brother? Think about this for a second. If you had a family with more than one child, and another family was attacking your family all the time, but you couldn't get your family to unify, and they had the strength and the wherewithal to repel attack and live at peace for the rest of their life, but you could never get them to unify because they would never worry about the enemy who was attacking them. They would worry about one another. Yeah. And in your own family with your own children, there would be constant bickering and fussing and fighting. Any father looking at that would be grieved. You see what I'm saying? In our family, Grace, Omar, hallelujah, Annalise, amen, is no touching one another. I don't care how mad you get. You touch one of my children, it's like touching me. You understand what I'm saying? And you don't want to touch me. I say, who you hit? Who you hit? No, 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 don't hit one another. Because when you're in trouble, that's going to be the one that's going to come get you. When I'm not there, it's going to be Annalise coming out there. It's going to be Grace. Don't you put your hand on your sisters and on your brothers. You see? You see? We need that as a people, y'all. Huh? He says, sirs, why do you wrong one another? We are brethren. Let me take this deeper. Minister, watch this, minister. Let me take this deeper. Huh? Pastor, you got time? I think so. All right. All right. You got a little time? All right. Not only should we not wrong one another, but we should support one another. Oh! See, that's the next level, all right? That's the next level. And so we get to a place where, listen, I ain't going to do you no wrong. I'm not hurting you. That's good, but that's not great. Great is not only am I going to refrain from causing you injury, but as my brother, I am going to look out to cause you good, to bless you, to increase you, hallelujah, to make sure you have everything that you need. If it's in my power, I'm going to look out for you, all right? This is the way Israel was always supposed to be. God, when he set up the old covenant, amen, he wanted Israel always to make a difference between themselves and other people. He said, oh, yeah, other people can borrow money from you, Israel, but when your brother borrow money from you, you shall not charge him interest, all right? Hallelujah. You could have slaves, Israel. All right? But if your brother is in a bad place, he's not going to be your slave. He's going to work for you. And after 7 years, you better release him. Hallelujah. All right? If your brother need money and he come and he give you property that his family passed down to him, you could take the property, Israel. All right? But after 50 years, the year of Jubilee, you got to return everything that was ever taken by you from your brothers and sisters. It was a different set of laws that Israel had when dealing with one another and then dealing with the outside world. Why? God wanted them to love each other. In Leviticus, he told them, he said, you shall not suffer your soul to hate your brother. Huh? And he wasn't talking about biological in immediate sense. He was talking about biological from a people sense. He didn't even want us to hate each other. In that same text in Leviticus, he said, don't suffer your soul to hate your brother. If he do you wrong, you go to him and tell him the wrong. Don't go to your house, suffer in this bitterness, and now you want to hurt your own brother. Nah, be real with one another. Look each other in the face. This is what I'm feeling. This is what's going on in me. Listen, I don't want no beef between me and you. You know what I'm saying, Chris? It's a realness. You know what I'm saying? It's realness, and that's how you keep everything clean and cool. That's how you keep peace. You see? God wants peace between his people. And I want to tell you, in the new covenant, nothing has changed. God still wants us, amen, to look out for us. Oh, Pastor, that sounds crazy. Watch me now. Watch me. Us, with the inclusion of our Gentile brothers and sisters who are engrafted into our root, we ought to look out for Israel and the Gentiles who have been engrafted into Israel. That's the way God would have it. Y'all don't know your scriptures? God say, do good to all men, but especially the household of faith, God say. His people. His people. We got Hebrews looking out for everything else but his people. Huh? We got church members looking out for everybody else except his people. When you gonna start doing business with his people? When you gonna start buying your goods from his people? When you gonna start getting services from his people? Oh, y'all don't wanna clap no more, I see. Y'all don't wanna clap no more, I see. Huh? Huh? You rather go to some other people, some lost people. Huh? Rather go to some lost people, some people that's, hallelujah, putting the wickedness on you instead of going to your own people. The Israelites look out for one another. You see? They looked out for one another. Got a word for you. Listen, before I go, don't forget the key of David. Don't forget going to one another's businesses. Don't forget securing one another's services. Listen to me. Watch this. We have enough, y'all. Between Israel and the church, we have enough. We don't need these worldlings. We do not need them. We don't need them, Israel. We got enough within ourselves to where if you're good to one another, all of us can eat. Every single one of us. Every single one of us. Every single one of us. Listen, man, I don't want no Dathans in here. No Abirams, no Korahs, no Judases up in here. I understand that there's some goods and services, amen, that you can't get from your people yet. I understand that. But we probably need to start some type of thread of communication whereby when you look for something you can't find, you need to send it to the Key of David website, amen, and we can have a place on the Key of David website that say, hallelujah, Hebrew and believer businesses that we need, amen. And so we would put this right here and that right here and a grocery store and a plumber and a this and a that, amen, because why? We are brethren. We should refrain from hurting one another, but we should also look to do one another good. You see? We go to one another's businesses. Oh, this is going to break some backs. No, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it. My goodness. Y'all going to get me in trouble. We go to one another's businesses. We go to one another's church. We go to, oh, I'm getting y'all busy. We go to one another's schools. We read one another's books. We watch one another's movies. We follow our own leaders. Hebrews. And believers. I gotta stay true to the text and to our Bible. Amen. Amen. All right. Moses couldn't understand. He said, sirs, ye are brethren. Why do you wrong one another? Egyptians don't act like this. I've never seen this before in my life. A people that's all the same but hate each other. a people that's all the same but would rather be someone else. A people chosen by God but wake up every morning wishing they was another people. Moses said, what a wonder. I've never seen nothing like that before in my life. You see? But we're going to prophesy to these dry bones, these dead bones. And we're going to pray unity over them in the name of Jesus. We're going to pray one accord over them in the name of Jesus. We're going to pray upon them a willingness to start businesses, and not only start businesses, but to support one another. Because though you find it hard, amen, to support your people, when you open your business, 9 times out of 10, it's only going to be your people that's going to end up supporting you. See, some of y'all don't know what I just said because you've never been a business owner. The same people you hate gonna feed you. Because 9 times out of 10, amen, unless they know who you are and they know this word and they've subscribed to the word fully and become, hallelujah, real believers, they're not gonna frequent your business. They're not gonna frequent your business. I done had talks with business owners. We got to put another race at our receptionist center. We got to put other people in our commercials or on our billboards. We got to put another race on our One Accord Marriage Conference handouts. And they still won't come. I'm about to leave. But one of the things about being woke, being awake, you're going to learn that God has connected you with these people. And your success is going to rise and fall with it. I might have told you too much this morning. Might have told you too much this morning. You see? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the truth. We thank you so much for being real with us. God, we want to be real with you. We want to be real with one another. God, I'm praying for every business owner and entrepreneur, every CEO, every supervisor, every manager, everyone here trying to make it. I'm praying for an anointing on us, God, that we would learn how to serve our people, that we would do them well, that we would give them a good product, Daddy, the best we can, the best our resources and our knowledge at this time can. We pray for our people who we service, that they would understand, Lord God, that other folk got generations on us, that other folk got an infrastructure, a support system that we can't touch right now. But that even in our weakness, hallelujah, we're going to take care of one another like nobody else can. Give us patience with each other. Why do you wrong one another when you are brethren? Let it go out to the ends of the earth, Daddy. Use the key of David to open and loose an economic, a social, a political, and most importantly, a spiritual oneness in Christ that galvanizes us to become the people we have always supposed to be. The devil has got his seed. Now, God, it is time for your seed to arise. So we say, arise to Israel. we say, arise to Israel. We say, live to Israel. We say, unify to Israel. We say, work together to Israel. We say, support one another to Israel. We decree, stop killing and harming and hurting one another to Israel. We speak life over Israel. We ask that the heirs, the ministers of the heirs of salvation, would carry these words to the four corners of the earth, that the dry bones will live. Father, start in this place. Change us. Change us. Change us. Change us. Listen, we're going to have a little altar time. Amen. My prayer is that if you want to make sure that you're saved, because that's where it starts, the spiritual unity starts in Christ. If you ain't saved, you can't do your people no good. No good. Secondly, if you don't have a heart for the people yet, if in the spirit you're not a full 40 yet, you're not community oriented, you're still kind of like on you. You're doing you. I want to pray a full 40 anointing on you. Huh? Not a full 40 like a beer or nothing like that. No, a full 40. Full 40 year old anointing on you. If you don't understand what we're doing here and what's going on, I want you to come to this altar so I could pray understanding upon you. You said it. I don't understand what's the big deal. I don't understand. Okay, I get that. Let's ask God for some understanding for you. If you're here and you see us just like Israel and Egypt, and you just want to come to this altar to pray for your people, you're going to be able to come and do that. You see, until your heart breaks for your people, until all of our struggle has put you in a place where you wanted to cry looking at us, then there may not be too much good the movement can expect from you. But if God has touched your heart, has entered into your heart to visit your people, then you can do something. Ushers, please open up the gates. Open up the gates. Amen. We've talked about Moses tonight. Today. We've talked about the Hebrews. If you feel you need this altar, or you want to stand to represent somebody at this altar, come. 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 Sirs, ye be brethren. Why do you wrong one another? Other people don't act like that. They starting to, but they never used to. You always got a problem with your people. We won't ask what's wrong with our people, but I think the first question is, what's wrong with you? We're going to go into prayer. Wait on you, man of God. I see you coming. I'm gonna wait on you. Love y'all, man. Love y'all, man. Woo. Man. God have mercy. Let's pray. Say, God, thank you for loving us. We've sinned against you. We're sorry. I know I've done wrong. Please forgive me. I believe in you. You died for me. You were buried in a grave. And you rose the third day. Lord, forgive me. Save me. And use me. Fill me with your spirit. Anoint me to help your people all over the world. Both the Hebrews and the Gentiles. Anoint me to help your people. Anoint me to look out for your people. Woo! Anoint me to defend your people. Anoint me not to harm your people. God, use me. Break my heart for your people. Show me what you see. Give me understanding and wisdom as I deal with your people. Give me patience. Give me love. Give me mercy as I deal with your people. And God bless us as a people. First Hebrews and Gentiles alike. Grow us up. Unify us. Make us a force to destroy the seed of Satan. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give God some glory. Come on, give God some glory. Give him some glory. Come on, just grab hands for a second. Grab hands. Oh, God, we got to get out of here. But I just need a prayer of blessing on you. God, 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 God. God, right now, bless your people, God, with an outpouring of your last day's blessing upon Israel. I'm asking God that you would bless them to work together. Anoint them like no other. We know that on an individual basis we are rising up. But we are praying that with this rising up you would connect us spiritually, mentally, emotionally, that we would understand you and understand one another, that we would serve one another, that we would love one another, that we would get along with one another, that we would do business with one another. God, in the name of Jesus, God, begin to ordain and anoint your people with witty inventions and businesses, Lord God. Give them what we need for such a time as this. We tired doing business with the devil, Lord God. We need our own companies, our own books, our own movies, God. God, in the name of Jesus, raise up leaders in this place. Business owners, give us the finances, the wherewithal to build a nation, to build an infrastructure of righteousness where each one would reach one, each one would feed one, each one would teach one, that every joint would supply the need, and not a single one of us would have lack. We'd be able to work with, work for, and have others work for one another, God. Change our minds right now. Change our hearts right now. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give God some glory. Give him some glory. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and bless you with shalom peace. Shalom peace. Shalom peace. Shalom peace. Prosperity, favor, blessings, blessings, blessings. You ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. When we come together, you ain't seen nothing yet. Nothing yet. Come together, people of God. Come together, dry bones. Come together, work with one another. Work for one another. Have one another working for you. Come together. Come together. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Love y'all. Be blessed. Be blessed. Blessing you. You're blessing. Sampi, you looking good, Sampi. You're looking good. You're looking good. Whoa. What's going on? Yeah, you're right. How's everybody?
As well.
You still with
me? This is a real simple song of praise. It says,
all right. All right, all right, all right.
Every word of worship.
Every word of worship.
With one accord.
With one accord.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise.
It's to our God.
It's to our God.
Yeah. Sing hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah.
To our God.
To our God.
Glory hallelujah.
Glory hallelujah.
It's to our God.
It's to our God.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise.
It's to our God.
It's to our God.
Come on, let's take it up. Y'all know how we do it. Every praise.
Every praise.
It's to our God.
It's to our God.
Every word of worship.
Every
with one accord.
With one accord.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Is to our God.
Is to our God.
Sing hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah.
To our God.
To our God.
Glory hallelujah.
Glory hallelujah.
Is to our God.
Is to our God.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Is to our God.
Is to our God.
Let's take it up one more time. Come on, everybody.
Every praise
is to our God.
Is to our God.
Every word of worship,
every word of worship
with one accord.
With one